Good morning, everybody. One of my favorite scriptures is in Ephesians 1:17, when Paul prays to the Lord, the Father of glory, that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's my heart to you guys, that you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation of the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Because sometimes that doesn't always happen. It doesn't always happen to me, but I pray that. And I think it's something that we can always pray, never stop praying that. So today I'm going to primarily teach you from the book of Luke, chapter 9. And my goal today is to help you understand your power and your authority that's been given to you. So in Luke 9, Jesus called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So we have power and authority given to us. Power is the dunamis power. It's a miraculous power. And authority, that word has a sense of ability to it. It's dependent on your mind, believe it or not. It's your perception. It's your perception in all of its of in all existence. It's your mental capacity. If you were to take a police officer, I look to my husband because he used to be one, or Josh, and you think about a police officer, there's a learning curve. They have to start out in the academy, and they have to learn the law, statutes, all that kind of stuff. And so when they begin that process, they're growing in knowledge. They're growing in their capacity to enforce the law. They have the authority initially, but it's only a matter of the capacity of the law that they can enforce it. You can't really enforce a law that you don't know. So authority is dependent on your mental capacity. I want to give you a picture. Our business is a building with a fairly flat roof, and there's 7 downspouts coming down from the gutters that collect the rainwater from the top of this roof. And I want you to consider the rain coming down as knowledge. So all this knowledge is coming down the downspouts, and they get dumped into a rain barrel. I want you to think of this rain barrel as your mind. So here we have knowledge coming down into our minds. The disciples have been hanging out with Jesus for nearly 3 years. And on their journey with him, they have collected all kinds of information. They have a perception of him. They've witnessed the Messiah with miracles and healings and casting out demons and all kinds of stuff. They witnessed that. They were gaining knowledge. Jesus would pull them aside on numerous occasions and give them explanation, show them a parable. He would get down in the sand and he would draw pictures, I think, more often than it was noted, because pictures are 1,000 words. So I'm giving you this picture of the downspouts of knowledge coming into our minds. We've got rainwater being knowledge, and the barrels being our minds. So the disciples knew the power and authority that they had. And Jesus sent them. He sent them. They were to practice all that they were learning. So out of obedience, they practiced their power and their authority. Essentially, that's the tools of their trade. As soon as you're born again, You all have received power and authority. You all have the tools of the trade to go out and preach the gospel. Let me give you another picture. If a child desires to learn to ride a bike, he's going to probably fail a little bit having his feet on the ground, so a parent might give him some training wheels to deal with. And think of this child, the capacity of their knowledge about riding this bike is contained in a cup. That's the capacity of their knowledge. It's in a cup. Eventually, the child is receiving instruction. All right, child, you have to put your feet on the pedal. You have to move your legs to rotate the tires. If you want to stop, you got to back pedal. Those old-fashioned bikes before they were on the handlebars. So you receive these kinds of instructions. So the child is listening and gaining the capacity to understand in their little cup. So now they're on the bike, they're on the training wheels, and soon enough, they have enough experience to graduate the training wheels and to go just on two wheels. They now have not just a cup, they have a bucket of knowledge. They've learned some things about physics and balance, speed, what it feels like to fall down, all kinds of stuff. So now they're on two wheels and they have a bucket. Soon enough, that child might decide to start putting up ramps and rails and do all those kinds of things and maybe, you know, jump off of high places and do backflips with their bike. They now have a rain barrel because they have a great understanding of what it takes for their body to be able to do those kinds of stunts. They now have authority, that sense of ability, that mental capacity to build ramps, maybe even design their own bike. It's lightweight, designed specially for the size of their body, all kinds of things. So just like someone who practices law or practices medicine, he's practicing engineering. He's got it figured out. He has the mental capacity and the authority to do it. You following me? So let's consider the downspout again on the building. Let's imagine, this happens in our house often, that they get clogged. These downspouts get clogged. I want you to consider that clog as a veil. So the veil is limiting the capacity of information, of knowledge, to come down into your barrel, which is the brain. It's limited. So hang on to that picture. I want to read a prophecy that Isaiah said. Isaiah 53:1. So he prophesied about the Messiah, and he would be despised and rejected, and he was prophesying about his crucifixion. Who has believed our report, he says, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Basically, this is my way of paraphrasing the verse. Who has believed what they heard and added it to their mental faculties? Who has believed what they heard and added it to their mind, their rain barrel of knowledge? And who did the Lord uncover this power to, so that they may have the sense of ability to use this power? Remember the veil that covers the top of the downspout? Here, I believe, describes the fact that Jesus did not fully reveal himself right away until he was glorified. Once the veil was torn, there was understanding. John 12:16 says this: his disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, Then they remembered that these things were written about him. He was telling his disciples on a number of occasions what was about to happen in the coming weeks, that he would be crucified. They did not understand. They had a difficult time with that. Let me give you a couple of examples that verify what I'm saying to you. For example, and you can just, I'm going to read them. If you want to jot down these scripture verses, you can. Luke 2:49, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. So that's when Jesus was young and he was about his Father's business, and his parents couldn't find him. Here's another one in John 16:17. Then some of his disciples said amongst themselves, "What is this that he says to us? A little while, and you will not see me. And again in a little while, and you will see me, and because I go to the Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he says, a little while? We do not know what he is saying." Here's one more. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever, and how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" So they're struggling with understanding and knowing what Jesus is saying. All right, just one more, sorry. Luke 18:34. "But they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken." So there's a veil. There's a blockage of information. It's lacking. And the only way anyone could speak with authority is to have full comprehension of what they're going to say. So I want to help you identify your sense of ability, because in essence, this is what's going to help you recognize the power and authority that you have. I'm going to go further down in Luke, that same chapter 9, to verse 51. "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." They're talking about Jesus. "And he sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem." You have to understand that between the Samaritans and the Jews, there was intense racial conflict. There was racial pride, bigotry, all that garbage. There was so much contention, and so they essentially rejected them from staying in their village. They did not receive him. "And when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did?'" So at that time, they recognized that they had some authority to command this miraculous thing to happen. They had power and they had authority because Jesus had given it to them. But there's something different here. They were so offended, they wanted to just consume them with fire. They were going straight after the miraculous to destroy them. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." And they went on to another village. That was that. So Jesus said, "What manner of spirit?" He's implying they did not know their mental disposition. The fact was that the Son of Man came to save lives, not destroy them. With Elijah, it was just the opposite. So they could not understand that. I want you to Earlier in the verse, Jesus was foretelling his crucifixion. And in verse 44, it said, "Let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men." But they did not understand the saying, and it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. So they couldn't comprehend it. Again, there's a veil. So Jesus said, "Let these things sink down into your ears." He's saying, "I want you to grab a hold of this into your mental capacity. Let it sink down into your ears." But they did not understand. They lacked information. There's a veil clogging their downspout. They lacked information. They didn't have the capacity of knowledge. And they were afraid. How often does fear arise out of the unknown? And it was hidden from them. I think that was the biggest thing. It was hidden from them. Again, the veil had not been torn. He didn't go to the cross yet. He wasn't crucified. They could not know the full knowledge of Christ at that time. And let this remind you that only Jesus can provide the capacity for revelation. That's his new covenant. We have him. Now, it's our responsibility to know what to do with all this knowledge that's in our head. Here's another picture. Think of it this way. That same child that was learning how to ride the bike, when that child was born, they're journeying through life, gaining knowledge, gaining information about life, carrying on. They enter elementary school, they have just a cup of knowledge. That's their capacity, just a cup. They go through grammar school, middle school, they're on to high school. Maybe by that time they have a bucket of information to work with. They get to graduate school. They earn a PhD in medicine. Now they got a rain barrel, just for perspective. So now they're practicing medicine. Now they're practicing law. Now they're practicing accounting. Now they're practicing, like the BMX biker, engineering. They have a rain barrel of information. Now, as disciples of Jesus, we have a responsibility to practice Jesus. We sang about walking in the light this morning. In essence, that's using the knowledge that he has given us, and we're going to practice his manner of spirit. Do you remember that verse 55? You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Jesus said that. He said that because we need to identify what manner of spirit we are of. Because if we're functioning out of the wrong spirit, we're going to call down fire. That's going to be our heart. When he wants us to extend mercy and we're extending vindictiveness. I think of Peter when he took off the soldier's ear at the time that Jesus was betrayed in the garden. And Jesus said, "Suffer ye thus far," meaning take the offense. James and John were offended when the Samaritans would not take them into the village. Peter was offended when they were ready to take away Jesus. They did not know what manner of spirit they were. Did you ever hear, there's a book out called The Practice of the Presence of God, written by Lawrence. I've never read it. I know nothing about the book except for the title, and I love the title. So we have to practice the presence of God. So practice begins with obedience. Obedience to the knowledge of God. That child on the bicycle had to be obedient and take instruction and put their feet on the pedals. They had to do that. They could not have gone any further if they weren't obedient to the instruction. Luke 11:28 says, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." You can say it this way, because that's what these words mean. Well off are those who understand, who ask, who seek, who knock on God and hear the word of God and obey it. That's what it means to keep it, obey it. So there's a practicing going on. There's also some cooperation and abiding. The child on the bicycle needed to cooperate with the bike, needed to put his feet on the pedals, needed to steady himself. There's a cooperation with the whole body that occurs. And abiding with Jesus, walking in the light. John 12:46 says, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." The thing about darkness is that there's error there. There's obscurity. There's no full revelation. You have to walk in the light, abiding in Jesus, to have a full revelation. Romans 13, "Let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." So we have to let Jesus manifest in everything that we do, everything that we say. We have to check our mental faculties and see where we are projecting our words. Walking in the light with power and authority. So again, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. Jesus said those words. Our capacities are spiritual. We have to recognize our mental disposition. Like Joe was teaching last week, is the temple of our mind from the king, or is it a prison built on lies and deceit by the enemy of your soul? I look at it this way. Let's pretend if I was to turn to my right, and there's a mirror here, and I'm looking at the reflection of in the mirror, and I see my body. It's what sees, it's what tastes, it's what hears, it's what feels. And there's a soul in this body. There's emotion, there's my intellect, there's my will. So that's looking left. I can look left in the mirror. I can see that it's aging. I can see that all kinds of awful things. So if I was to turn this way is much better. There's another mirror. And I think Pastor had given this description once. There's another mirror, except this mirror is the Bible. It's the truth. It's God's word to us. And looking into this mirror, we can't do it the way we do it naturally, looking at our own natural reflection. We have to look at it through our spirit. It's the only way to look at it. And there's where the truth lies. Again, if I'm looking at the mirror on this side, the natural earthly reflection, it's temporary. We lack vision. Or I look through my spiritual eyes on this side, and this is eternal. It's not temporary. It's eternal. It's heavenly. There is no veil on this side. This side has a veil. We lack understanding. Back again to the spiritual side, we have the mind of Christ. We have full understanding. It's been given to us. So there's a decision to make. You have to decide to look in the mirror, the natural mirror that's temporary, or the eternal mirror that's spiritual. You have to make a decision. We have to decide, do we want our spiritual understanding or our natural understanding? Which downspout are you allowing to dictate your life? all of our ruling and reigning comes out of functioning in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3:14 says this, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ." You can't put your hand to the plow, going to break up our fallow ground. If we have our hand to the plow, breaking up our fallow ground, we can't look back. Our renewed mind is mindful of the things of God. Mark 8:33. There was a point that Jesus rebuked Peter, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Again, here's your decision. Are we looking at the natural mirror, mindful of the things of men, or through our spiritual eyes, mindful of the things of God? It's the downspout of information. Our bodies, looking in the natural mirror, are going to have a downspout of information that are not compatible with the spiritual things. They're very different. And eventually, it's going to come to a point, I haven't yet arrived, I'm getting there though, where we function, where I function completely out of our spiritual mindset. Because what happens is that the Spirit will overtake your natural body. Nothing really is going to matter or have an effect. The mental disposition of when Jesus said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. They were operating out of an offense to their flesh. If they had on a spiritual disposition, they would have responded very differently. So that's all of our goals, is to operate out of the mind of Christ. When Peter cut off the soldier's ear, he did not have the right manner of spirit. There's a song that we sing every now and then. We have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. The rest of that scripture verse in Revelation, I don't think we sing it in the song, but, "And did not love their lives." Our lives are what we see looking in the natural mirror. We have to look in the spiritual mirror and not love our lives on this side. So we have to be sure that the words of our testimony, the words that we speak, come from the downspout of the knowledge of God, from the Spirit, not from the downspout of the natural. The words of our testimony, because this is the gateway to power and authority. This is what we want to know. We want to know the spiritual side of it. This is where the power and authority comes from. That's where we want to build our mental capacity. That's where we want the law, that enforcing aptitude, to come out of us. We have to practice it. So assess your manner of spirit. I do it to myself all the time. There's nothing wrong with it. I like saying that I like to have a personal assessment, because it's truth that I'm seeking after. When Jesus said, "Let this sink into your ears," he doesn't want us to ignore his truth. We need to let it sink into our ears. When the disciples were out preaching the gospel, they were speaking from the Spirit. So overcoming, no matter what it is, involves assessing your manner of spirit. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you can help us with our understanding to the knowledge of you. that we can have spiritual insight that helps us in every decision, spiritual insight that helps us to overcome daily. You told us that we have overcome because you've given us that power and authority. And Lord, I know it's just a matter of helping us to recognize what that authority is, what that ability is. So I pray this for all of my brothers and sisters here, that as the weeks and days go on, that you reveal more to them your power and your authority, that they may have the right manner of spirit, that they can walk in a dunamis, miraculous power, preaching your gospel, that they go out with authority, having complete understanding because you have removed the veil. The veil was torn at your crucifixion, and we can now have a full downspout of your information. We have access to it. So, Lord, I ask that you draw all hearts to seek after your manner of spirit, to gain all spiritual understanding. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.